This reading for this evening will be Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. Nehemiah 2, 2 through 5. And the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart." Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's grave, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "What are you requesting?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, then you may send me to Judah, to the city of my father's grave, that I may rebuild it." Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Very glad to be back. I'm always thankful for these opportunities. Now, when you're a sub-preacher, there's one thing that you fear is that you're at the wrong place at the wrong time. And when I walked in and I saw Jeff, I thought, wrong place, wrong time. But luckily, Jeff just had a safe trip, and we're glad that he's back with us safe and sound, and we're glad for that. I'm so thankful for the opportunity that I've had to be with you once again. It's so encouraging to be with brothers and sisters in Christ and to have an opportunity to serve you the best of my ability by serving God as well. You know, as regimes change over the course of time, as governments change, we see a new president in the White House, and one of his policies has kind of been viewed kind of controversial by many, and one of those is rebuild the wall. He said, build the wall. He said, build the wall around our borders and secure up the country. And what I'd like to say to our president is, I'm kind of more interested in another wall. Not that that wall might not be important, but the wall that I'm worried about is the wall of Christian ideas, principles, and values. That's the wall that I'm concerned about. I think if we can rebuild that wall, if we can build it in our lives, the lives of our families, the lives of our friends, our country will be okay. We've got to rebuild the wall. But rebuild the wall of principles, values, and ideas of Christianity. We find such a man who's trying to rebuild a wall. And he's trying to rebuild a physical wall, but I think there's many lessons that we can take from him and apply it to our lives as we say we want to rebuild the wall in our country. Rebuild the wall of spiritual ideas, principles, and values, the doctrine of Christ, as we go throughout our lives. A little background on Nehemiah, we won't be able to necessarily go through the whole book, but Nehemiah was the cupbearer in the Persian palace as the Israelites were basically exiled to Babylon, and there's already been a few trips back to Jerusalem, Ezra being one of those, and Nehemiah looks back at his country, looks back at Jerusalem, and he says, you know what, it's in ruins. Nehemiah looks back at his country and says, it's in ruins, it's in shambles. He says, I see a need that I need to go back, and I need to rebuild. Like I said, I think there's many things we can learn from Nehemiah. The courage that he has, the boldness that he has, and the actions which he takes, the trials that he faces as he tries to rebuild the physical wall of Jerusalem. As we look at our country, I think we have to ask ourselves the question, how can we rebuild? How can we rebuild Christian ideas, Christian principles, and Christian values in our country? So we're going to pick up with Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 2. In Nehemiah chapter 2, Nehemiah is granted, and it's kind of almost amazing when you look at it, he's granted after we have the reading of the situation where he goes to the king and he's sad, and the king asks him why he's sad. He says, well, basically, my country's in ruins. I want to go back and rebuild. And the king grants his request, which is kind of a surprise when we think about the situation, but we start to pick up with him as he returns to his country. We want to pick up in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 15. The Bible says, so when I went up by night by the valley, and I viewed the wall, when I turned back and I entered by the valley, the gate, and so returned, the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others, who did the work. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which has been good upon me, and also of the king's word that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. So they set their hands to this good work. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah, the Ammonite official, and Geshem, the Arab, heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, "What is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king?" So I answered them and said to them, "The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem." What I see is I see Nehemiah, he returns after he's been granted this request. He returns to his country. He returns to Jerusalem. And you know what he sees? It's in ruins. I'm not going to try to form your opinion here this morning. But when you look from our country, from sea to shining sea, what do you see? What do you see in our country? What do you see? Because that's the question we have to ask ourselves. What do we see? When Nehemiah returned to his country, what he says it's wasted. It lies in ruin. He says the gates are down. And when we look at our country and we look at the values that it holds, the principles and the ideas, the morality which we find, I think that, I'm not going to form your opinion for you, but I'd have to say the walls are down. When we look at the things that are happening, we have men that now are saying they're women, women that are saying that they're men, even though the Bible says, in the beginning God made them male and female. He didn't give us any other options and choices, but yet our world says, oh, there are. Not only that, but we look at marriage and how it's been attacked and taken and trying to be redefined. We look around our country at the way that people are at the workplace, the way they handle their lives, the way they handle each other. Christian values, ideas, and principles. When you walk across our country, when you look at it, do you see what Nehemiah sees? Nehemiah says, it's wasted, it lies in ruins. And some people might say that's a little rough, but I propose to you that the walls are down. The walls are down, and someone's got to say something. The walls are down, the walls are in ruin, the walls are in shambles, the gates have been burned down. And we walk around like nothing's going on. The walls are down. We've got to do something. And that's exactly what Nehemiah says. He says, we will rebuild the wall. And he says, he will do it with me. See, I propose building a wall. But the wall that I propose building is the wall of Christian principles, values, and ideas, once again, in our hearts, our souls, and our minds. Patrick Henry gave a speech trying to convince his countrymen at the time of the revolution that it was time. He was trying to convince them, kind of paraphrasing his words. He said, are we going to wait until there's a British soldier in every house? Trying to make any way. He says, how much longer are we going to wait? And that's my question, brothers and sisters in Christ. How much longer are we going to wait before we say it's time to rebuild? It's time to bring it up from the ashes again to where it needs to be. How much longer will we wait? And we look at each other and we say, it can't get worse than this. It can't get worse than this. It can't get worse than this. And yet it does. Because we won't take a stand and say, it's time to rebuild. The walls have fallen down too far. The gates have been burnt down. It's time to stand up and say, we will rebuild. It doesn't matter the cost. We will make every sacrifice we need to rebuild the wall that is before us. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, if not us who? If not us who? And if not now, when? Are we just going to keep passing it on to the generations behind us and just say, you handle it. You handle the mess. You handle the shambles. You handle the burn. You handle the rubble. You handle the waste. Because we would not stand up and say, let's rebuild the wall. Let's rebuild the wall of Christian principles, values, and ideas in our country. How long will we stand and watch the values and the principles that we love be torn down? How long will we watch people laugh at us? Just as we see Nehemiah in this situation, we see that after he decides to build the wall and he's trying to get people together, in verse 19 we see some people, they said, they laughed and despised him. And they said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? If you decide you're going to rebuild the wall, let me tell you something, you're going to be laughed at. You're going to be laughed at. You're going to be laughed at by our colleges and universities. You're going to be laughed at by the world because they're going to say, why are you standing on the principles and the values of this book that is many years old? Why would you ever do such a thing? Because I believe them to be true. I believe them to be true, and I'll stand by them. And you know, the words of God are as strong as they've ever been. They're sharper than a two-edged sword, but that's not the way that they're perceived in our country. I believe they're as strong as they've ever been, and they will continue to be strong, but that's not the way our world perceives it. That's not the way our country perceives it. We have to build them strong once again in our country, that everyone knows what good and bad is. That we no longer have a society that calls evil good and good evil. We have to rebuild the wall. You know, they're going to write letters about us. They're going to complain about us. They're going to make fun of us. They're going to have to do all these things. But we have to be resolved as Christians and say, we'll rebuild the wall. You can laugh at us. You can call us names. You can say all kinds of things. But I will stand here on the rubble, on the waste that you perceive it to be, and I will do my best to rebuild it. That's what Nehemiah says. He says, I will rebuild. It doesn't matter the cost. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they do. I will rebuild. Who will rebuild with me? We see right from the get-go, as soon as he made that decision, there was adversity. There were people that were doubters. There were people that were against him. There were people saying it couldn't be done. But you know what? He says, I'm going to rebuild. The question is, who's going to go with me? What a brave man Nehemiah was. We continue on with this story, and we can't read it verse for verse, but it's truly a book that I love. And we pick up with Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 6 through 17. It says, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, so the people had a mind to work. Wouldn't that be great? We have a mind to work, to do the Lord's work that we set our mind to, and we do that which He says. It says in verse 7, now it happened. When Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God, and because of them we set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, the strength of laborers is failing, and there is much rubbish, that we are not able to build the wall. And their adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into the midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was, when the Jews dwelt near them, they came, that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, I positioned my men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set my people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked, arose, and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, for your sons, for your daughters, for your wives, and for your home. See, Nehemiah, he decides he's going to build that wall. And when he starts to build the wall, what do we see happens is people start to get angry. If we are resolved to rebuild Christian principles, values, and ideas in our country, people are going to get mad. People are going to get mad at us for standing for the truth, standing for Christian principles and values, and when they start to see that we're making success, guess what they're going to do? They're not going to leave us alone. They're going to attack us. They're going to conspire against us. They're going to try to divide us. They're going to try to separate us into many groups. They're going to try to do whatever they can to stop the construction and the rebuild of Christian values. Sometimes I think we forget that we're in a fight. I'm not proposing that we're in a physical fight. We're not warring against the things of the flesh, but we're in a spiritual war. We're battling against these ideas in our country that are spiritual in nature, that people will lose their souls over because we have let them be torn down and we wouldn't say anything against it. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We're in a spiritual battle. And you know what? When Nehemiah was resolved to build the wall, and he started making progress, you know what they said? We're going to attack him. And we're going to try to attack them from every side, and some of it's even going to be rumors of attack, just so we can get them off their focus of rebuilding what they know needs to be rebuilt. Anything that we can do, we forget how fly the devil is. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be diligent, for your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil's after us. The devil's workers are after us. They are trying to get us away from those things that are so precious and so pure. They're trying to get us away from those things that Christ would want us to think about. They're trying to get us away from those things that make a good family. They're trying to get us away from the things that make a good society. They're trying to get us away from the things that make good Christians. And the question is, where have we been all this time? Where have we been all this time? Because if we acknowledge the walls are down, we have to ask ourselves, why are the walls down? Was someone defending these walls? Who was defending the walls? Who let the walls be brought down? Who let the values, the principles, and the ideas of Christianity be crushed and smothered into the dirt? That's the way our country perceives it. Where were we? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense or an answer depending on the version. To everyone who asks you a reason, the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense. Were you defending the walls? Was I defending the walls? Well, the walls are down now. I think what happened was the values, the principles, the ideas were so strong in our country, we thought nothing could bring them down. We watched the attack come in from every side. We watched the catapult up, hit the wall. We said, no need to repair. No need to make adjustments. No need to defend. They're too big and too powerful to be brought down. And then we look around, as Nehemiah did, and say, what has happened? What has happened? The gates are down. The walls are down. My land is now a wasteland. Where were the defenders? Where were us? Where were we as Christians? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, a charge given to Timothy. Paul says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearance, preach the word. Preach the word. He says, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For a time will come. Well, what time do we need to be warned about? A time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, sound teaching. Because they have 15 years, they'll heap upon themselves teachers. And they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Where were the defenders of the wall of Christian principles, values, and ideas? Where were they? Where were they? I believe because we might have walked away from the wall. We walked away from the wall, we thought it was strong enough to stand by itself, that we did not have to defend, that we did not have to answer the charges, that we did not have to be there to answer the call at every spot. I tell you, you might feel alone, but we're not alone quite yet. We still have brothers and sisters in Christ that are fighting. We can still turn this around with the help of God, just as Nehemiah knew. He knew that we could turn it around with the help of God if we stuck together and did the things that we should do. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous, glorious light. I think it's a good idea that we reflect on Nehemiah, because I think what we're doing now is we're not really defending a wall. What we're trying to do is defend a rebuild. We're trying to defend a rebuild. We're trying to defend a rebuild. And see, we've let the attacks come from so long, and we've let them go unanswered for so long, that now, when we try to rebuild the wall, we're going to be under attack every step of the way, and that's what happens to Nehemiah. He tries to rebuild the wall. He's trying to raise, but he says there's still gaps in the wall. And you know what they say? We're going to try to attack them and get it to stop building. And you know what he says? We're going to have to defend this thing. We're going to have to defend this thing. We're going to have to put people behind the walls. And as we continue on in that passage in chapter 4, he actually says, not only are we going to give all these people weapons so that they can defend against these attackers, he says, what else we're going to give them is we're going to give them a trumpet. You know why? He says, when they attack, we're going to blow the trumpet and we're going to rally together. Do we rally together as Christians to defend the principles, values, and ideas of Christianity? Do we rally together? Do we come from far and wide to defend the principles and the values which we love? Or do we not answer the call? Do we see our brothers and sisters in Christ in other areas and we say, I won't answer the call. I see them struggling, but I'm not going to go. I'm not going to help. We've got to rally together just like Nehemiah. If we are going to rebuild the values, principles, and ideas in our country focused around Jesus Christ, We are going to have to rally together. We are going to have to defend, and it's not going to be an easy process, because now the attacks are not hitting the walls, they're hitting us as individuals. I can't tell you the names that I've been called over the years, particularly that I've been called. I can't tell you the names that they will slap on me, because I will stand by the values, the principles, and the ideas of Jesus Christ. And if you decide to defend the gospel, you'll find the same thing. The Bible says if you desire to live righteously, you'll suffer persecution. I don't want these things. So guess what? If you stand on Christ's wall, you're going to be attacked. You're going to be attacked. If you try to rebuild these values, people are going to say you're crazy. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to attack you. And they're going to attack everything that's part of you, your family, your friends, everything. Because they don't want that wall to go up. You see Nehemiah, when he starts this rebuilding process, he has much adversity. He understands that they're under attack. He understands that they're going to have to defend through the building process. It says that a group was working and the other group was defending. And it said that there was a point where basically they just had their weapons and their tools at the same time. They were building, but as soon as there was attack, they were ready to go. They had their plan in place that if someone attacked a certain section of the wall, they would all rally together and they would defend. We have to do the same if we were to rebuild those things in our country. So number one, you see that Nehemiah makes the decision that he is in fact going to rebuild, and he is resolved. Number two, he understands that as he's in this rebuilding process, he will have to defend. Not only rebuild, but he's going to have to defend, because so long, the wall's been brought down so far, it's not going to do you any good. You've got to build and defend. And that's what we'll have to do in our country again. And number three, I think what we find that Nehemiah has a focus. And that's something that we certainly need to have as Christians as we try to rebuild the principles, values, and ideas in our country. We pick up with Nehemiah in chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. I might go a little farther than that. It says, now it happened when Sibbalit, Tobiah, Geshem, and Arad, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there was no breach left in it, though at that time I had not hung the door and the gate, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Onon. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message four times, and I answered them in the same manner. And Sanballat sent his servant to me as before, the fifth time, with the open letter in his hand. And it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall, that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you, as Jerusalem, saying there is a king in Judah. Now, these matters will be reported to the king, so come therefore, and let us consult together. Then I sent them saying, no such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in their work, and it will not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Nehemiah doesn't lose focus. See, these people that see the wall being rebuilt and he's about finished, the gate is not quite up, but he's about finished the wall. He doesn't lose focus. Does he? He doesn't lose focus. These people start sending letters and say, Nehemiah, please come away from the wall. Nehemiah, please come away from the wall. Nehemiah, please come away from the wall. Come away from the wall of Christian principles, values, and ideas. And you know what Nehemiah says? I'm not coming down. I'm not coming down from the wall. I will stay here forever, basically, in terms of what I'm trying to say. I will stand on the principles, the ideas, and the morality of Christianity for the rest of my life. I will not leave the wall. I will not leave it unguarded. I will not leave it undefended. I will not leave it unprepared. I will not leave it. They're trying to get it to go away. And you know what? When we try to rebuild the wall of Christian principles, values, and ideas, people are going to try to get our focus off. They're going to try to draw us away. They say, oh, come look over this thing. Come look over this thing. Come look over this thing. How many times do we lose focus in life? We lose focus of what our objective is. Nehemiah knew what his objective was. Rebuild the wall. And you know, that's my objective as a Christian. to rebuild the wall of Christian values, principles, and ideas in our country. They said, please come down, Nehemiah. In fact, they threatened him basically with the government. They threatened him with all these things. Nehemiah, please come and leave the wall. I will not leave the wall. I will defend it all the days of my life. I will not leave it undefended. I will not leave it unrepaired. I will not leave it. I will stay there all my life. Have we lost focus? Have we lost focus as Christians on those things that are truly important? Have we lost focus of our own souls? Have we lost focus on the souls that are around us? Have we lost focus of the value of the Christian life and what it has for us? When the Bible says daily, I really think it means daily. I don't take it any other way. When I read daily in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, I look at the Bereans, I take that seriously as daily. When I look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, and it says, then he said to them, anyone who desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I take that seriously. Daily. Daily. Daily I will rebuild. Daily I will defend. Daily I will keep my focus on those things that God wishes me to focus upon. The war that we're in is not necessarily the physical war. But the war that we're in is focused on those spiritual values and principles that are more important than any other thing. There's nothing more worthy to fight for. When I look at Nehemiah, I think you could kind of consider this as motivational speech to the troops, but in chapter 4, in verse 14, he says, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, for your sons, for your daughters, for your wives, and for your houses. I tell you what I fight for. I fight for my brethren. I fight for my wife. I fight for any children that I have in the future. That's what I fight for. Because I cannot pass this down the road any further. I cannot pass the wasteland down any further. I cannot pass the rubble down any further. I cannot pass down the gates that have been burnt down. I cannot pass that on. And though I work as hard as I can, I might just find out that that might be what I'm passing on. But it certainly will not be because of lack of effort. It will not be because I was not resolved to rebuild. It will not be because I decided I would not defend the principles and the values of Jesus Christ. It will not be because I lost focus and I left the wall at the worst possible time. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. We kind of got to keep that heart. We've got to watch it. We've got to protect it. We've got to protect our mind. We've got to protect our heart. But more importantly, we've got to protect our soul and the souls of those that are around us. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you know, the things that have conformed my mind are the principles of Christ. Those things that He teaches and the doctrine of Christ. The things that Christ has taught has changed my life, and I will defend that to the very last. What do you fight for? Fight for your brethren, fight for your sons, fight for your family, fight for your daughters. Because it's time to rebuild the wall. It's time to rebuild it, defend it, and it's time to stay on it all the rest of our lives to the best of our ability. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation tonight, God has told us what we can do to be saved, become children of His, to become into the fold, to be in Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says all spiritual blessings are in Christ. We have to get into Christ. We have to hear the gospel, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. We have to believe in the death, burial, resurrection. We have to repent. We have to confess that Jesus Christ, Son of God, be baptized for the remission of our sins. And we're added to that family. We're added to the church. To be honest with you, you're added to the kingdom. And you're added to the kingdom that you have an obligation to. An obligation that says, I will rebuild where there is repair needed. An obligation that says, I will defend where there is a call for defense, and I will stand where others may run. If you're subject to Lord's invitation, you need the prayers of the church. If you need anything, we'd love to help you any way we can. If you please come as we stand and sing.